We've lost several threads. It's just occurred to me. I do this all the time. We didn't mention the beer of the week.
Beers of the week. Okay, so what's the one that we're having at the moment?
Number one.
So we are drinking the Port Brewing Company's Hot Rocks Lager. This is from the Lost Abbey Port Brewing Company. Because there are a couple of different branches of it now.
Yeah.
Pizza Port from Southern California.
And Hot Rocks is not just the name, it's basically the
ingredients. No, so for this particular beer, it's a special beer they do, I think, about once a year. And they heat up large hunks of granite in sawn-off kegs. And they heat them up in a turkey fryer to several hundred
degrees. Is a turkey fryer? That's a thing?
That's to say, everyone's got one in there. Yeah. In the garage.
You can get a pocket-sized one. Yeah.
I think you can fry pretty much anything.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And they actually, they drop these kegs full of these boiling hot rocks into their hot back and pump the wort into it. And
that's what gets it boiling.
Yeah.
Caramelizes
it. So
I'm fairly sure I've seen I'll have a look for it and put a link on the thing if I can.
Some YouTuber about it.
But there's a video of someone doing the hot rocks thing, and you see them go in, and it's just this instant rolling boil.
Yeah.
And it must caramelize the hell out of some of the sugar in there, because it will just hit that hundreds and hundreds of degrees.
It's a very old way of brewing. I mean, it's before people had metal vessels they could heat. Yeah. You'd have a wooden vessel and you'd drop hot things into it to get the heat up. Yeah. So, I mean, it comes from there. But, who is it? Really the Byron Bay, Stone and Wood do one.
Yeah, that's why they called themselves Stone and Wood. And it was years until they got around to actually making their stone beer.
Yes.
They just didn't have the resources to do it, or the market who would trust them with something weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they plugged away for years with their draft, as it was. Mm. And then, this is good fun. This is not as freaky as I thought it would be.
No. I mean, it doesn't feel like a stunt beer. This feels like a beer that you find on a tap.
Yes.
It's nice. Very nice indeed. Just to return to something about the public testing kind of aspect. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if it was you and me or me and one of the other, just all that crossover between beer geeks and kind of computer geek type people. But someone was describing this as kind of like public alpha, because it's very
open beta.
Yeah. It's like very small batches, and they're only at Hoshiga. Mm-hmm. So it's quite a beer geeky kind of crowd, probably the beer geekiest crowd in Wellington, if not the country, in a concentrated place. And that's the feedback you get. It's from those guys. You know, you might have a pint each.
Yeah. I mean, it's very much, it's who we really wanted to actually bring the brewery out to.
Yeah.
And another reason for starting this way is, there are a lot of really good breweries in New Zealand already. And we were just trying to think how we could actually put a new brewery, some new beers out there, and actually have people give a shit.
Find a home. Find a gap.
Yeah, we didn't want to come out with, if we suddenly had this large brewery, it'd be great, we'd have all these big tanks, but we'd have pressure to put out, our hoppy IPA our session beer or our dark beer. And I think frankly, I wouldn't find that terribly exciting as a beer drinker.
No.
It's about authenticity too. I think there's something authentic about, really starting at the bottom and hopefully, cross your fingers, clawing your way up.
Because hopefully this happens in breweries that launch more traditionally, but this happens closed doors. Mm-hmm. They get all their mates to try it. They might get some industry insiders to try it. Mm-hmm. You've just thrown it open. Yeah. Beer will be at this pub on this day. If you'd like to try it, go buy a pint and then fill in one of these. He says, holding a stack of... I always gesture at the microphone.
They know what you're talking about.
Coasters. These are genius. Have you seen these? Garage Project Feedback Coasters. So that's the coaster, and it's got a nice big blank spot for what you drank, what you thought of it, and then a basic little rate.
My day job is in marketing, so this just warms the cockles of my heart. This is kind of user testing right there.
Yeah, it's user testing, but it's not in your face. It's not someone standing with a clipboard at the door of Hoshiga who's going to stop you and go, so, which beer did you have? Blah, blah, blah. It's there. So I recognise the handwriting on that one. That was mine.
don't say that.
So it's It's self-selecting. Only people who give enough of a damn will actually fill one out. But you've got people doing it in both directions, don't you? People going, and I wanted to like this, but blah. Mm. And people going, oh my God, this is amazing.
Mm. And people are really taken to it as well. You know, we get a range of comments. We get some very thoughtful comments where people really are trying to give us quite precise tasting notes through to this beer's good shit.
Yeah, you
know, like, I like that one.
Just as valuable.
Yeah,
it is.
Because it's just the. I really like a beer. I had a few of them at Bivana that when someone handed them to me, I stopped asking what it was and where it was from and where did you get it. And beers that just shut you up.
Mm-hmm. And just enjoy it.
I don't even care at this point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I'm going to ask you at the end of it which one it was so I can have another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's very interesting and I've stopped caring.
I think it's important with beer. I mean, it's great to be geeky about it.
Mm.
But you've also got to remember to enjoy it.
Yeah.
It should be enjoyable.
Yeah.
You know, it should be a pleasure. And there's you know, sometimes I think people can get disconnected from that pleasure.
You've also, with the scale you've got here, like we were saying before about the relatively low risk, you know, so you can take more of a punt and so you can just
it is shit something. Scary though. It can be fucking shit scary. But we often, especially with the early ones, we hadn't even tried it.
Yeah.
So we're like, holy shit, I hope that this is okay.
Yeah.
And you know, the funny thing was when we poured those first beers at Hashi, like we poured three of them and I tasted the pernicious weed because I was particularly interested to see how it had kind of come out. And tasted horrid. I was like, oh, that's not my beer. That's awful.
Yeah.
And it was because they had line cleaning and they hadn't quite flushed them out properly, I think. Because it had like an almost caustic-y taste. And I was like,
acid.
Well, all caustic or something. And I was like, oh, could you just pour a little bit more? And they did and it was all right. And I was like, oh, thank God. Thank God.
All the people crowd around the bar waiting for the cameras.
Just run. Run. Get out of here now.
That was pretty crazy. There was a whole bunch of people crammed into that little bar.
Yes.
And I think the one thing that's been really exciting for us is we always suspected that Wellington really was desperate for its own brewery.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was an assumption. We, you know, we needed to actually get up and running to actually see if that was the case. And it is, you know, we've had, you know, a lot of excitement just from the promise and the prospect of having a brewery. People can actually come
and visit.
We've
talked about just how crazy it is.
You're a Wellingtonian. Born and bred?
No, I'm not. No. I actually moved here about 6 years ago.
Oh, okay. That's
surrogate home.
Yeah, but that's so you were here when we had the Max Brewery.
Yeah,
and when it made some decent beer.
Yeah,
and it made a little shorter run, more experimental.
I remember going
Colin
down
Page was running it.
Yeah,
and he was,
and,
you know,
Brugelet would come out of there, and the winter beers they were doing.
He was, he was a very skilled brewer, and they were doing some really interesting stuff. And, do you know, I mean, that was the moment when. Because Joss had been saying, I'd been looking at setting up in Australia.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd spoken to Joss and Ian, they'd said, oh, you should come over to Wellington. The moment it clicked for me was when I heard that Lion had pulled Max out. I'm like, that's a vacuum. How stupid of them.
Well, we were making the analogy earlier this morning that imagine if Wellington had no one making coffee.
Mm.
Mm. Wellington, this famous caffeine-fueled population. Imagine if no one had actually gotten around to roasting their own. Was what? There's probably more than a dozen small little roasteries around the place.
Not so small roasteries.
And some huge, and then there's this gap with breweries. And even when the Max Brewery was here,
I remember going down.
There would only be one.
Brugelet a couple of years ago. I don't think they did one last year. Maybe it was last year. But sold out within an hour or so.
Super fun, last year they did. This
and
year
it's
they
just, you know, come on, why aren't you doing this more often?
Yeah.
That, you know, big demand for it. People want it. People want that connection with the brewers.
Yeah. And there just wasn't one, you know. I mean, there was the tiny little brew plant in Estadio, but that was making very mainstreamified kind of house beers for them.
For DB.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I mean, there's the Bond Street operation starting up at some point, but...
And then there's people contract brewing. I mean, there's some great stuff from Yeasty Boys. I mean, obviously, they're
Paradog
awesome.
New on the scene.
Paradog
are
new as
they
well.
They launched the same week you did.
Yep.
So Hoshigo had these two crazy nights when they had more people than space.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is great. You know, I mean, Viva, that kind of thing. It's so good. Like you said, all those coffee roasteries, how nice to have that many people to choose from. It creates a really healthy scene, I reckon.
The Paradog Boys freak me out because they are just scarily young. and really still kind of lovely and enthusiastic, and they're just blown away because they've gone the contract brewing route. Yeah. And that was my other question. I was going to say, were you ever tempted by that?
I mean, it's attractive, absolutely, but I think it gets back to what Pete said about trying to put something out there that's really genuine. And to us, the dream, the goal is to have a brewery,
yeah,
to have our own brewery. And, you know, that was the thing we focused on. Like, we didn't really talk too much about contract brewing.
It just wasn't quite what you wanted to do.
A couple of reasons. One is I like the idea of having a brewery, especially a brewery where people will eventually be able to come.
Yeah.
And they'll have a connection to the place where the beer is made. They'll be able to see what's going on. I'll have a connection with them.
Yeah, which is always the best thing, being able to talk to the guys that make it and get the enthusiasm from them.
I mean, I really love beer. It excites me. I think it's great. I want to share that. I don't, you know, that's fun. And I want to share it while I'm making it. You know, I want to show people the space. So that's very important. I also have to say that having come from working in Australia, there's a big contract brewing scene over there.
Yeah.
But it's quite soulless. You know, I mean, I've got
some
to say here,
where they just kind of send a recipe away.
That, I mean, you know, there are whole breweries who pretend that they exist, but in fact don't, you know, and make crap beer in huge quantities. They're not even making it themselves.
Yeah.
It's just marketing. So, you know, I think that was my mental image of contract brewing. So when Joss even mentioned it, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Having come here, I see people like Yeasty Boys doing great stuff. Contract brewed, and you know, and that's interesting. I mean, it's a different kettle of fish because it's expensive and it's hard to set up a brewery.
So, with, like Yeasty Boys, and to a more recent and lesser extent, Parrot Dog, they do this kind of pilot batching type stuff literally at home, and then send a recipe away or go away themselves to the brewery and make it. But like we saw with Parrot Dog, and I think with the first couple of Yeasty Boys beers, there's that translation problem from your gear to someone else's gear.
Absolutely,
like you used to work. Contract brewing other people's stuff occasionally.
Yes.
And so that's the other. That's the
you
other
can't make the same beer in two places and it come out the same.
No.
I mean, we talked about Brakes beers and how they moved all the equipment. They went to all that trouble. The beer didn't taste the same.
No.
You know, they're using the same yeast, the same equipment. Yeah. I mean, I imagine they tweaked the water to get it exactly the same. But, you know, there's just something. What is it?
Because there's still that
just, you know,
black art.
Yeah.
Kind of, we don't actually know what's going on in a lot of.
And that's what's so great about brewing. It's that kind of intersection of science and art to be kind of wanky about it.
Yeah.
You know, when there's that something which individual brewers put into their brews.
You sit down and there's a lot of math and there's a lot of experience and science, and every now and then you just reach for something on the shelf and go,
what if?
Yeah, what the fuck happens if I do that?
Yeah.
And I love that it's still like that. You know, you don't want it to be overly clinical and here you are in a garage.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think